We're continuing on from last week. But last week we spoke, I spoke anyway, about being on holiday. And how, as I was looking around at all of the people who were there, I kept thinking, how can we as the church, as Christians, introduce these people to Jesus Christ, to the gospel of Jesus? My big question was basically, how do we save people? And we thought about the power of our stories. And how, as we live, simply living as Jesus' followers, we can introduce people to Jesus. I said that personal evangelism is the future of the spread of the gospel. Where? In our everyday conversations, our everyday life, we just naturally share the good news of Jesus. As we engage our story of faith with the stories of the people we meet, we can share with them the wonder of God's story of salvation through Jesus Christ. This week, as I've been thinking, my big question has been this. It's a difficult question, actually, as I've been thinking about the future and different churches that I could maybe apply to. And I was thinking, you know, if a church is failing, if it is not growing, whose fault is it? Is it the minister's fault? Is it the elders' fault? Is it the leadership's fault? Is it the organization's fault? Is it the congregation's fault? I've thought about this and I am continuing to think about it. And I think that it is all of them, all of the above. We need to be living out every single one of us, our stories of faith everywhere we are, everywhere that the Lord places us. And that is why we need to utilize the power of our story. And last week, we looked at Daniel and his story as we thought about what all of this looks like, the important elements of our story as we live as Jesus followers in a world that is becoming increasingly very hostile to Christians. And we said that we need to not compromise. We need to be people who don't compromise to the ways of the world, that we are aware of the danger of conforming, of bowing our knees to another God, just going with the flow. But we need to be different. Like Daniel and his friends were different. They didn't bow the knee to another God. We also said that part of our story, an important part of our story, is that we work hard. God blesses us. He gives us gifts and we are to use them. They are important elements in Daniel's story. And the people, his friends, they were known for their hard work. And we work for the Lord, not for man. We also saw that an important element of our story is our prayer life. It holds everything together as we pray with and for each other, as we have prayers where we pray for the mercy of God as he helps us and we ask him to help us to live in our hostile society, where we give thanks to God for all he has given us. This helps to keep us humble and as we bring our petitions to God, realizing that he is the one who gives us all good things. We see all of that in Daniel's story, and it must be part of our story. And then the final thing we said last week was that we are to point to God. We are to live lives which glorify God. Glorify God when it's difficult, but also glorify and point to God when times are good. As we live out this, like this, these elements in our lives, we will help other people to see God. As Daniel lived like this, his story had an impact on the most powerful man at that time, King Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar has a massive part to play in the book of Daniel. His story is actually quite amazing, and God played a massive part in it. God used Nebuchadnezzar to punish his people, to take the people of Israel into exile. God raised him up. God gave him the power and the authority to do that, to be part of God's plan. God worked in this man's life, even though this man did some really bad things. God was part of his story. And then God brought Daniel and his friends into contact with Nebuchadnezzar. Let us see how their stories impacted Nebuchadnezzar's story. And first, as we kind of mentioned last week, the first thing Nebuchadnezzar saw as he interacted with their stories was that he noticed their ability. He noticed that they worked hard in chapter 1, verse 20. He found them to be 10 times better than the magicians. Sorry, the magicians, not the magicians. Yeah, those guys who did magic. The enchanters and the whole kingdom. He saw this. And these followers of God, these God followers, stood out positively because they worked hard using the gifts of God. So we can see how God is coming into his sphere of influence. He's seeing people who know God, who follow God. But this hasn't made Nebuchadnezzar follow God yet. But it is part of his story. And then the second thing we see is that when Daniel interpreted the dream for Nebuchadnezzar, when he interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream, Nebuchadnezzar saw that God can give knowledge beyond his understanding. In chapter 2, we read that Daniel said, "The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true and its interpretation is trustworthy." So after Daniel had interpreted this dream, this impossible task, this is what Nebuchadnezzar did. He fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor, and ordered for an offering and incense to be presented to him. The king said, "Surely your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and revealer of mysteries. For you were able to reveal this mystery." And because of Daniel interacting with Nebuchadnezzar, he is acknowledging who God was. We can see that. But he didn't start to follow God then. Well, maybe he did, but if he did, he didn't start to follow God only. It's actually probably more probable and likely that he kind of saw this God character that the Jews worshipped, that Daniel worshipped, and he sort of folded the worship of that into his worship of all the other gods that were around him and the multitude of gods that he worshipped. But we can see God becoming a bigger part of his life. But it wasn't what God wanted. God needs to be worshipped alone. Many in the church, I think, do this as well, the same as Nebuchadnezzar. They see things that God can do. They maybe experience amazing things that God can do, and they acknowledge him. They say, "Oh yeah, there is a God. Yeah, God can do great things." But they basically just fold the worship of God into all the other idols of their lives, the other things that they worship. And God doesn't stand out as the king of their lives. They worship other things as well. But it can't be that way, because the third thing we see is that whenever Nebuchadnezzar threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fiery furnace, we see that this is a story that tells us that God alone is to be worshipped. And when this happened, he saw a miracle. He saw an amazing thing. Nebuchadnezzar was standing there. He looked on and he said this in chapter 3. "Weren't there three men that we tied and threw into the fire? They replied, "Certainly, O king." He said, "Look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed. And the fourth looks like a son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the burning furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." And they did. And what did Nebuchadnezzar say when he saw this? He said, "Praise be to your God," basically. He said that, "I see that you're meant to only worship God, because you did that. You worshiped only God, and God was faithful to you." He saw a miracle. He saw these men being faithful to God, being protected by God. But still, Nebuchadnezzar didn't follow God alone. And we see this because in chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. And it's worth reading that whole dream. It's quite an amazing story about this tree, this amazing tree that's cut down. And Daniel comes and Daniel tells him what this all means. Basically, he tells him that this is you. You're going to be cut down. You're going to be humbled. And you have to humble yourself before God. This is what happened. Daniel knew what would happen to the king, knowing that his pride was an issue. And he told them the truth about how to be saved. I'm not doing well with this clicker today. He told them the truth about how to be saved. He said to the king, he said, "Renounce your sins by doing what is right, and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed." Daniel said this to the king. And here we see, this is, I think, a vitally important element that we all must incorporate into our stories. The strength and the boldness to tell the truth to people, to tell them how to be saved. Daniel did this. For Daniel to tell this king to turn from his sin, to stop wickedness, to basically criticize this king of kings was dangerous. He could have been severely punished. He could have been killed. But he wanted to save his king. So he told him the truth. He said, basically, repent, turn to God, worship God only. Daniel wanted to save the king. So he did it. He told him the truth. He told him how to be saved. Maybe all that had happened until this point had given Daniel the right to say what he said, these difficult words to the king. The hard work, the miraculous knowledge, the understanding of dreams, the miracles that he was able to be a part of, as he lived the story of his life in the presence of King Nebuchadnezzar, he introduced God to the life of a God follower, to the reality of God. And then when he got the opportunity, he told Nebuchadnezzar the truth. He told him how to be saved, and so must we. As Christians, living out the story of our lives as Jesus followers, interacting with all the other people's stories around us. When we get opportunities to tell people the truth about how to be saved, as they see us living for God, as they see us living differently, as they come into our reality of God, we must be like Daniel and be strong and be bold enough to take the opportunities that God will give us, even if there is a possibility of that message being received negatively. The reality of today, the day we live in, is that we need to earn the right to speak into people's lives. It may take a long time. But as we live out our story by not compromising, by working hard, by praying, by pointing to God, we will get opportunities to share Jesus' story. Because the story, our story, cannot just end there at the fourth point. Yes, pointing to God is important in all that we do, but if we are not telling people the truth, we are selling the whole thing short. It was such an important element of our stories. Jesus said this before he went up to heaven. He told them in Luke 24. This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. We are to tell the world about Jesus, the truth of Jesus, that Jesus came to this earth for us, to die for us, to take the punishment for our sins, that if we do not know Jesus, we will not know heaven. If we do not repent, we will not know heaven. If we do not turn from our sins and turn to him, we will not know heaven. If we don't tell people the good news of Jesus, we are cutting our story as Jesus followers short. We need to tell the truth. We need to tell people how to become Christians and to follow God. Like in our reading earlier, when Zacchaeus met with Jesus and Jesus went to his house just sharing life with him, he discovered the truth. It changed him, and we see how it changed him because he repented. He gave away half of his money. He was going to repay four times. He was a different man, a changed man, because he humbled himself before God. Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, for the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost." Like Jesus, we are to seek and save the lost. Zacchaeus responded to that message and it changed his life. But Nebuchadnezzar, after Daniel had told him all of this, had warned him, told him the truth, his pride stopped him from responding, because 12 months later, we read that the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. He said, "Is not this the great Babylon I have built as the royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty?" And then God just took him down. God worked in his life in an amazing way, in a confusing way for us to think about it, but God took action in this man's life. It would appear that all that Nebuchadnezzar saw, all he heard, all he had experienced through the stories of Daniel and his friends hadn't brought him to that relationship with God. In the end, Daniel simply did this. He lived out his story of his life faithfully to God before Nebuchadnezzar. And then he let God do the work. He let God work. In the end, God did it. He saved Nebuchadnezzar by cutting him down. He became and he ate like cattle. And then when Nebuchadnezzar, after the time, had humbled himself before God, he was restored and he became a follower of God. Nebuchadnezzar says this in Daniel chapter 4. At the end of the time, "I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes towards heaven and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High God. I honored and glorified him who lives forever." He also said, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven, because everything he does is right and all his ways are just. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble." We see that in the end, Nebuchadnezzar acknowledge God as the Most High God, who is sovereign over all of the kingdoms of men and sets up whoever he wishes to set up. Nebuchadnezzar humbled himself before God because of the work of God in his life. God used the stories of Daniel, of his three friends, to save the king. But ultimately, it was God who saved. It is God who saves. This is the final element of our stories. We need to just let God work. It is the Holy Spirit who works in hearts and minds to convict and to save. As Christians, this is how we will save people, be involved in the salvation of people as we live out our story. Living as Jesus followers, not compromising, working hard, pointing to God, telling the truth, telling how to be saved, not hiding the truth from people. And then we need to hand it over to God and let Him do the work. We are called to simply live out the story of our lives faithfully to God before the people that God puts in our sphere of influence, and then let God work. Are we doing this? Are we living out our stories? If a church is failing, if it is not growing, whose fault is it? It's all of our faults if we are not living out our stories of faith, utilizing the power of our stories in the world. As we live out our story and our story interacts with the stories of the world, the people around us, that gives us the opportunity to introduce them to God's story of salvation through Jesus Christ and His sacrifice for us on the cross. And then the people around us, will acknowledge who God is and humble themselves before Him. Our story is important. It could be the most important story that some of your friends, family, work colleagues ever hear, because God may use it to bring others to faith. So let's live it out. Let us pray.